Hallelujah. How many here this evening, you're in the full-time ministry? Quickly, just raise your hand. Wave your hand at me quickly. You're in the full-time ministry. All right, so there's a bunch of you. How many of you feel that God has called you into the full-time ministry? All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. I felt led on the way here to pray for those that are in the ministry and those that are going to be going into the ministry. Because you see, let me say something about ministry. We have to do everything we do in the ministry, we have to do by the anointing. We can't do something because it's a good idea. We can't do something because we read it in a church growth book. Hello. We've got to do it because there's an anointing that's resting upon it. And let me tell you what. You know, I used to teach down there in my brother's Bible school down there in Tampa. I did that for 3 years. I taught the first and second year classes. And guess what I told the second year? I said, don't leave this ministry using this ministry as the example of what you should do. Because I said, this ministry is a very unique and very different ministry. Are you listening to me? Most ministers will not be able to keep up doing what my brother does on a continual basis. They'd burn themselves out. Hello, they wouldn't be able to do it. So there's always something going on at the river. So you have to, you know, I don't want to do something because they do it. I don't want to do something because somebody else does it. I want to do it because God said, yes, the plan I have for you. Yes, the plan I have for your ministry. Amen. Just like we here at Calvary, this is not something that many ministers get to do. And this is not something that Pastor Bob has done before. But here we are. I mean, what is it now? Month number 6 we've been here since October last year. It's not something we've ever done before in 23 years of ministry. And, you know, I don't know if we'll ever do it again. Are you listening to me? But for this season, God had a plan. Are you listening? God had a plan. And as long as we follow His plan, you see, we could have, I can get other meetings, we can book up elsewhere and travel all over the country, but then I'm going through all that stuff of traveling and preaching and beating my brains out just to go do a meeting when it's really not what the Lord wanted me to do. Are you listening? I'd rather just stay at home than just go and do another meeting. I'm not looking for another meeting. I want to do what God wants me to do. Because when I do what God wants me to do, then there's an anointing that's resting upon that. And as a result of what we've seen over this period of time, there's not been a dead meeting. There's never been a meeting where God has never moved. And people have always been touched by the power of God. Why? Because there's an anointing on what we're doing at this moment. Are you with me? The hardest thing for people that are just stepping into the ministry is to actually hear the voice of the Lord, grab a hold of the plan that God has without listening to a whole lot of other people with all their ideas. Hello? Oh, you shouldn't do that. You should do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Do that. Don't. No, do it this. No, I have to do it the way God wants me to do it. You know, when we began in 94 and we traveled the country, We'd left my brother January of 94, and we did two weeks of meetings right here in Keller. Then we went to Alaska. I did 2 weeks in Fairbanks, 2 weeks in Anchorage, and then 2 weeks in Soldotna. So that's, what is that, 8 weeks of meetings, 2 meetings a day, 6 days a week, you know, going up, and that was traveling on Saturdays. So, I mean, we ran as hard as we possibly could. Now, when I was in the meetings in Soldotna, we had a couple that were traveling with us, and they came to me one night because, you see, the worship wasn't going like I wanted it to go, and so this couple were there with me, and they weren't per se on our team, but they were at that time. And so they got a hold of me after one of the meetings, and they said, look, we've been doing praise and worship for, you know, 30 years. Why don't you just sit back and let us do what we do? And I was so exhausted that night. I just, I almost said, okay, do whatever. And I heard the Holy Spirit on the inside of me saying, that's not what I called you to do. Because you see, the direction they would have taken it in was not revival. Are you with me? Because they don't flow in revival. That's not what they're flowing. So we would have taken our meetings out of the move of the Spirit of God. And so I would have had to get up and bring it right back in. Are you listening to me? I mean, we jump up in these meetings. We can flow right off of what's going on here because there's an anointing in the house. There's a revival atmosphere in the house. So I don't have to work through anything here. But when you go into other churches, sometimes you have to work through what garbage they've just delivered. Hello? Are you listening? Are you listening to me? And so I sat forward in my chair and I looked at this couple and I said, no. I said, we're going to do it the way the Holy Spirit wants it done. And here's what I did. I actually sat the wife out. I said, you're off the platform. I said to the husband, I'll allow you to play, because he didn't have the attitude, but she did. I said, I'll allow you to play. And then I said, there's another lady that's here, part of the church. I said, I want her up and I want her leading the worship in the morning. Let me tell you what, I walked in that morning service and it was glorious. It was glorious. I don't know who that lady was. I just know she was a part of the church. I know she did some worship for the church. I said, look, I don't care if she plays a song with one finger. I said, we need that lady up on the platform and she's going to lead. And let me tell you what, because there was no attitude. See, the heart was right, the motive was right, there was no attitude. And so when I did that, the Holy Ghost fell in the place. And then all of a sudden, we were back on track. Are you listening to me? Hello? Now, I mean, I've gone into churches before where I don't have music ministers. And so, you know, I just let the church do whatever they want to do, knowing that that's what it is. But when I carry my own people, then, hey, we better get connected. Because if you're not connected, I'm going to know about it. Are you listening to me? You know, the worship prepares the people's hearts to receive whatever God has for them. Worship is very, very important. So I could have missed the Lord back then and just let them do what they wanted to do and missed out on the move of God. Are you listening to me? But I refused. I have to stand my ground. Because you see, whatever we do, we've got to do it by the anointing. It's always got to be by the anointing. I don't want to do anything in the meeting if it's not by the anointing. If the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with it, then we should have nothing to do with it. Hello. I mean, we could write a book on places we've been and stuff we've had to entertain and ministers we've had to talk to. We're in a revival in Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, and the pastor, I mean, he wouldn't even sit in the meetings. The moment we spoke about drinking, he'd run out the door. He'd run out. Literally, I watched the guy run down the side and out the back door, gone. I get back to his office and his concordance is open on the word drink. He's gone back to look at the scriptures on drink. I'm like, don't worry about the concordance. Just go to Acts chapter 2. There were a whole bunch of drunkards on that day. Come unto me and drink. If I come unto Jesus and drink, I'm going to get drunk. Hello. We came to the end of that week, and on the Friday, he said to me before I went out in the meeting, he said, would you stay another week? I'm like, no. I said, you're not even in the meetings. You're not even attending the meetings. You're running out the door all the time on the meeting. He said, I know. He said, I know I'm struggling with this, but the people need this. Can you stay another week? I said, okay, for the people. We were in that church for 4 weeks. He never got in. The preacher never got in. In actual fact, I remember him sitting on the platform over there on this side of the platform. I'm walking down front and I looked back at him and he just had this sorry, sad look on his face. And he hated every time we spoke about drinking. And you know, I just looked back at him and thought, you know, I'm just glancing back there every now and again. But these folks have to look at him all the time. Although this is not a good thing. So I just stopped preaching. I said, folks, I feel a drinking coming on. I mean, I feel a drinking coming on. And I look and here, hop up and off the platform and out the back door, gone. I'm like, we can have a move of God now. Hello? Listen to this. When we pioneered the churches, we pioneered one in St. Louis, one in Alaska. Do you know that I felt pressure? We were in St. Louis for 5 years. I felt pressure from some of the people to conform our meeting to more of a traditional church than revival. And I told the folks, I said, this church's history is revival. It'll always be revival. But I felt that pressure. As a minister, I felt the pressure to conform. And of course, you know me, the moment I felt the pressure to conform, we had a Holy Ghost meeting. Because I felt like they were putting me into a mold and trying to make me this minister that I wasn't. And try to structure the church so we could, you know, do a little more conventional meetings. And then what am I supposed to come home, do a conventional meeting on a Sunday morning, and then go on the road and have joy? Hello. See, you can actually be conformed. People around about you can actually take you on a journey you're actually not supposed to go on. Hello. But I will tell you this right now, when you've been impacted by the Holy Ghost, they ain't going to get it right. Hello. I said they ain't going to get it right. You know, I used to tell people this in the meetings. I would say to them, you know, those that are visiting here, get this fire, get this revival on the inside of you and take it back to your church. And go start a fire in that church. And the Lord said to me one day, why do you keep telling the people that? I said, because God, I want to see revival spread. He said, let me tell you what's happening. He said, you're sending those people back to their churches. And God said this to me. He said, whoever stands up in the pulpit can either allow my spirit to move or stop my spirit from moving. And he said, there's a lot of these churches that these people are going back to. They don't want the move of my spirit. So the moment I start moving on them because they're hungry, somebody shuts them down. Hello? Ever heard that saying, there's enough wet blankets in any one church to put the fire out? And that's the truth. I don't want to lose what I have from God because of wet blankets. That's why I like hanging around with drunkards. I like hanging around with people that know how to drink. I want to hang around with the living. I want to hang around with the people that love the move of God. Hello. That's why I like hanging around here. When Pastor Bob says, Basil, I think tonight's the last meeting, I might say, how about one more? Just one more. Just one more, Pastor Bob. Just one more. Because you're all a bunch of drunkards. That's what you are. You all love the move of the Holy Ghost. You all love the joy. And you all come back now. You're here. Oh, you are back. Okay. Hallelujah. So everything we do, we must do by the anointing. You know, when you go out on the streets and you go minister on the streets to get people saved, you know that there's rivers of living water flowing into you to flow through you on the street. Hello. So you are actually a minister on the street You can get people saved, healed, delivered, set free, and they get a heavenly language. And then they follow you around getting other people saved. Come on now. Amen. Any of you ever go and minister out somewhere in different places? You carry the anointing. When you do, you carry the anointing with you. Just let the glory of God flow. Just tell the Holy Spirit, listen, I can't do this by myself. You have to be here tonight. I'm not going to do anything on myself, but you are going to move in this place because I'm placing a demand upon the anointing. Now, I'm telling you right now, the Holy Ghost will fall. He'll move. He'll touch people's lives, set them free. You'll stand back going, wow, what did I do? Hello? Are you all still with me? Let's read this scripture over here. Are you all with me? Are you in the place I am at? Huh? Did you go there? Huh? Where am I? Come on. You guys are not led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't tell you where to go? I'm just kidding. Acts chapter 10. I'm just going to read one scripture so you really don't have to turn there. By the time you find it, I'll probably be done. This is how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. I always read that scripture and think to myself, if Jesus needed the anointing, how much more do we need it? How much more do we need it? The Bible says, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. There's nothing that we should do for the kingdom of heaven if God is not with us. Hello. Everything we should do for the kingdom of heaven should be done by the Spirit, by the anointing of God Almighty. In actual fact, when it is, it makes the work a whole lot easier. How God anointed Jesus. We can be walking and living in that same anointing that Jesus had upon his life. Why? Same Holy Spirit. Same power. Hello? Same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of us. Same Holy Spirit. Same anointing. We as a church should be seeing signs, wonders, and miracles happen everywhere we go. I feel God stirring the church. Listen, what God does in these meetings is not to be kept within these walls. It's to equip the saints so the saints can get out of here and go do the work of the ministry. That means everywhere you go, every day, somebody's going to cross your path that needs a miracle. And you have it within you. You have that anointing within you. You have that power within you for that miracle. You might be the last person they see. Hello? Imagine that. I said, imagine that. You know, we've heard of testimonies of people that have gone to retirement homes and led people to Jesus. walked out of the room, walked into the next one, led somebody else to Jesus, walked out, walked into another one, led somebody to Jesus, walked out, and two rooms up, the one they prayed for, two rooms away, died. How close can that be? I mean, that's minutes before they die, they give their heart to Jesus. Hello? We can pluck people right out of the jaws of hell. I'm telling you right now, we can pluck them right out of the jaws of hell. Just while the devil thinks he's got them, there comes some on fire, crazy, tongue-talking, joy-walking, drunkard, full of the Holy Ghost. Speaking the word, signs, wonders, and miracles happening. And bloop, out of hell and into heaven. Yes, what's so wonderful is, listen to this, and I'm going to close and then pray for people. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. In other words, listen to this real carefully. I am never under any pressure to do anything in any meeting because I know it's not me. It's God. It's the anointing. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage and sets the captive free. So we're not under any pressure. You're not under any. You can't save anybody, but the Holy Spirit draws them in. Hello. So we never get under any pressure. I've taken all the pressure and put it on God. I put it on His Word. Hey, you said it. You said lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I can't heal somebody, but I can sure lay hands on the sick and believe God for a miracle. Hello? And while I'm doing that, it's not even my anointing. It's God's anointing flowing through me. That's all it is. Coming from the throne room of grace, flowing through me into that person. Hello? I'm just a carrier. Amen. Really, this is what revival is all about. You know, revival is not so we can come and have some fun. And we do, and it is fun. Get full of joy, get drunk, fall on the floor, roll around. Hello, it's fun. It is fun. My God, it's fun. Thank God we can come to church and have fun. But it's beyond that. Amen. It's change. So that God can change you on the inside and then equip you to do the work of the kingdom. That's what this is all about. Amen. It's about multiplication. It's about God multiplying Himself into His children, raising His children up full of the Holy Ghost on fire so they can carry the fires of revival across this nation and around the world. That's what it's all about. Amen. We are here tonight because one day we stood up and said, God, yeah, we are. We'll go. And He sent us. That's how come we got to America. We didn't open a map of the world and just throw a dart and go, thank God. It fell in America. Oh, Jesus, thank you. I thought for a moment we'd be in Canada, but oh, America, thank you, Jesus. No, God called us here because He has a plan and a purpose. He said, I'm taking you to America to carry the fires of revival across that nation. And that's what we're doing, and that's what we've done, and that's what we'll be doing. Amen. So I want to see people get on fire in this place. Because He said, that's what we do. Fire. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's have all the